Hey, hey, welcome to the show. It's the Jazz Podcast, and today we're going to talk to Joel Schoch, a fantastic composer based in Switzerland. Joel's written a couple of stunning soundtracks for computer game in the last few years. His music's been featured on BBC Radio 3, The Sound of Games, and he writes for plays in his spare time. This is an incredible man with a wonderful story. Before we begin, here is one of his tracks. This is called Colored Engine. This is from Far Lone Sails. Hello and welcome to the Jazz Podcast. I am here today with Joel Schoch. Oh, it's gone already. Help me, Joel.
Schoch. Exactly.
Hello and welcome to the Jazz Podcast. I'm here today with Joel Schoch. Dude, I'm so sorry. I literally...
It's best. No biggie.
Right. Well, Joel, I'm a huge fan of your work. We just started the show listening to Colored Engine, which is one of the tracks from the game soundtrack Far Lone Sails. And I started playing the game, not knowing anything about you or the music. And as a primarily soprano sax player, I was immediately shell-shocked and blown away by how much sort of influences of jazz and contemporary jazz and trumpet and saxophone you've used in your soundtrack. So tell us a bit about the music and about yourself.
Yeah,
let's talk about everything.
About everything and the world.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I think the beginning of the music for this game was when I studied composition for film and theater in Zurich University of the Arts. And then on a lucky Wednesday, I met, we had a sort of matchup speed date with game designers. And there was Don Schmocker, who is the initial head and creative director of the Far Lone Sails and Far Changing Tides games. And then this used to be a university project, Lone Sails, in a really small version. And already there I created some music for it. And then as it won some student prizes, it became a bit bigger. And then it became something real. And
wow. So did you, you met them at university?
Yes. Firstly, we were only the two of us. And then when it became bigger, he would invite some friends of his to join and be part of Okomotive, the firm that is doing those games.
So when you say about the speed dating, was it that did they meet lots of composers and particularly like your music?
Not at all. So they just came in and they made some little PowerPoint presentations about their little projects. The speed date was for a small project before Lone Sails.
Right. Okay.
To be clear, it was a game about bees, and I ended up making some bee sounds with my mouth. That is what I remember of it.
Wow! Cool.
But there they just pitch their projects, and we would actually, the composers had the chance to go to them afterwards and say I'm into making music for it, and they didn't know at all what kind of music I make. It was just like, yeah, we're happy to have someone. And then it was fun to work with Don. And then he invited me again to be part of his bachelor project. And that was the first prototype of Lone Sails. So it was a lot of luck and no intention.
Wow, that's amazing that it sort of happened so
yeah,
much that you and the studio were both sort of grown at the same time.
That gives me the opportunity to speak with them on the same level. We just grow together, and they put a lot of trust in what I do, and they gave me the freedom to make the music I wanted to make. That is, I think, a really lucky situation to have, not being the small composer whereas a big company comes and tells you what to do.
So they let you just do anything that you wanted, pretty much.
There were no really boundaries in the beginning. I've quite fast found out that Don is into having sort of the steampunk thingy of having real instruments in the score, and that was perfectly fine for me, because I also found out while doing Lone Sails that this is the only way I want to work in the future as well. So everything you hear on the soundtrack is recorded real and recorded in my bedroom. So I think this is my way to go, that I like to buy a lot of instruments,
yeah.
Used and on secondhand market, and my room is full of them.
It looks incredible. Yeah. What's your first instrument?
I learned playing the piano originally. Yeah.
So do you play everything behind you? Like every instrument that you've got, you've sort of got ability to get sounds out of.
Exactly. Ability to get sounds out of is the perfect way to describe it, because I play all of them, all of those instruments, but some in a very bad manner. But in the end, that's the good thing about recording. You have 40 tries and 38 fuck-ups, and then two of them will be okay or goodish, and then I can use those.
That's brilliant. So did you do demos? Because this soundtrack, one of the things I really enjoyed at the end of the game, the credits showed all the musicians, like everyone who played on the game was credited, which is so unusual. I thought it was a very classy touch. Did you do demos first and then you get people in to play sort of a final version?
Not really, to be honest. I was and I still am a gambler in some way, because I would just record music with those musicians before showing it to the game designers, because, I mean, it's hard to even for a composer, it's hard from a demo to know how the final product will sound. It's hard to know or not. I have to be honest, I don't even know it. If I make a demo and then secondly record with real musicians, it will definitely sound completely different than what I've imagined, because those are real humans that give their gift in playing those instruments into the soundtrack, and funny things will happen. Some parts will work out way better than I intended, and other parts will not be working out because of it can have a thousand reasons. Maybe the wrong microphone, maybe at that particular day the instrument wasn't warm enough or cold enough or whatever. So I would just record first and then the recorded version show it to the game designers, because in the recorded versions you would have all the emotions they are seeking for. And sometimes if you would show them a demo that is not with real instruments, they would tend to throw the idea away, even though it's musically a good idea, but it's not it doesn't have the emotion yet in it.
Right.
But recording overdubs, so one track over the other, gives me the opportunity to throw stuff away and put new things over it. So there is still a lot of possibilities to work with the music after the recording.
Right. Do you do all the miking up and everything, or do you have like a tech person come in and help the production?
I do it myself.
How did you learn all this?
We had quite a crazy professor at the Zurich University of the Arts, and I knew while studying that I wanted to go deeper into how to record and how to mix my music, because I just found that this essential part of the composition is how the sound will come out in the end, because I'm really sound aesthetics driven and not really sitting on the piano the whole day long to find out the composition, write it down on paper. I have to have, I'm quite impatient, so I have to have success all the time. And when you know how to record, you have little success steps throughout the whole process. So I learned from this professor a lot of about mixing and miking.
What's the professor called?
He's called Daniel Detweiler. He also has his YouTube account. He has the craziest mic collection of whole Europe outside of Great Britain, I guess. He's just quite a crazy guy.
Amazing. What a great person to learn from.
Yeah, that was also luck having him around to help me.
How long were you at Zurich studying for?
I guess it would be 7 or 8 years, just like bachelor and master's.
Did you do both in composition?
Yeah, both the same, composition for film, theater, and media. Yeah.
Wow, cool. So then, how did you know that you wanted to do that? Did you ever have anything else in mind?
My musical history is like that. I started playing piano classically, and after 3 years, I wanted to quit because my teacher would always tell me that my fingers are not in the right way, and I found out that this kind of cage and having to learn something in perfection is not something that I could ever go after. And then, luckily, I changed the teacher to go into piano improvisation lessons, so no more reading any scores because I was bad at sight reading, and I still am. And then just exploring what I want to do on the instrument was a big part to find out that I like music, or even love music. But I didn't intend to study music. I wanted to be an actor at some point. Luckily, I didn't follow this route. At high school, we made a musical, and there I contributed the music for it and found out about DAWs, the audio workstations, and then I was sucked in from second one. Yeah.
So for you, composing and the technology are kind of part of the same thing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to play another track called this is Abandoned Construction Site, and this one really grabbed me because it's just a piece of contemporary jazz that has been packaged in a way that's like suddenly accessible and untold. Hundreds of thousands of people will be playing this game, and the soundtrack has got fantastic reviews from mainstream media, which is really great because so much of the music that I spend time with, we all dream of broadening the audience, but it's very hard to do it. You've written this, and you know, I haven't ever read anything about your work or about the game that's not outrageously positive. Anyway, listeners, have a listen to this. You'll see what I mean. Thank you. So, Joel, that tune is absolutely brilliant. And now everyone sees what I mean. You've written something that's really interesting and really kind of weird at the start. I loved it. What was it about the trumpet and the saxophone that you went for with this? Why those two instruments to start?
When I create music, I'm usually not that much mind-driven, more belly-driven. I just go for the sound that I think could fit in there. And also a good friend of mine is a fantastic saxophone player. And I usually like to work with friends of mine. I think it's way easier because they know me and they know how I like music to be. You could have the best musician in the world, if he doesn't understand you, then it will be hard to make a good session. So I recorded with him.
What's his name? I've got the credits, but
David German.
Right.
German. Yeah, he was playing this the saxophone and the soprano, the alto and the soprano sax. And that was the intention.
Does he live near to you?
Not
is he
anymore.
In Switzerland?
Actually, right. Not anymore. He studied also in Zurich University of the Arts, and we know each other way back since high school. So we had quite some years on merely the same path. And now he's living with his wife and first child in Luxembourg.
Ah, cool.
Yeah.
I'm a saxophone player and. Mm. I make my living out of playing the sax. So with the best judgment I can say for sure, David is insanely good at the saxophone. He is ridiculous. The tuning, the sound, he is beyond my wildest nightmares. When I heard it, I was like, oh my God, this guy is so good.
Oh, I will tell him, or I will give him the exact spot where this compliment is, and he will love to hear about it.
About 17 minutes into the show, I don't know about anything else in the world except saxophone. I'll gladly admit that. I've got no other life skills. That guy can really play. So what a happy coincidence. Another question I had for you, with that tune then, how much of it would you ever write onto manuscript and be like, here's my piece, play this?
The recording sessions, I write everything down. Even if there's an improv part, I would just write it down with like slashes, and then over it what kind of improvisation I'm after, and then we would talk about it. But as soon as I have a professional musician in that is able to sight read, I would write everything down. So, but I already started to make. Even make scores from loan sales and changing tides. So after the game, I now am writing everything down to publish a little booklet with all the score in it.
Wow, that's great!
I thought that I would do it while being on the route in Europe with a caravan. I just thought to write everything down for me myself to rethink of what I did, because usually when I do, I'm not thinking too much, and it could be nice for myself and my being as a composer to afterwards write everything down to think about what I actually have done. Yeah,
that's such a good idea. I bet that would be really interesting to see, and because it's got such a great production value, these soundtracks, it'd be lovely to like have a score to look at. You know, I would happily spend hours looking at it and listening.
Sure thing. I will tell you.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. So there's loads of one of the other things, like you've mentioned about the steampunk vibe of the game, and the games are both where you're like basically making an old sort of steamship work and creak along. But there's quite a lot of those sounds are in the soundtrack rather than the game, which is really cool. How do you put those things in the music, these little sound effects, essentially?
It was, I talked about it with Don to come to a previous question, if you're sure, we thought about that, the music has the main goal of the music is to build an emotional connection between you as a player and the vehicle, or the little figure and of Lone and the vehicle. That is the most important thing. So the music will also always be a reflection of how well the vehicle itself is. So the music should sound like it comes out of this vehicle a bit. So then I was after searching organic sounds that represent the little wheels inside of this vehicle that you can't see but maybe can hear, or if you think you hear it, then it would be perfectly fine. So that was an idea to go after, and I'm not able to play the drums, but I have a lot of percussion instruments and instruments that could be used as a percussion. So I'd like to build kind of a drum set with sounds that could have the function of a drum in a score. Right. And that's also what I did a bit in Lone Sails, I guess. So there's still the function of a snare or of a hi-hat or of a ride, but in a different way in the production, with a whatever wood sound tapping on the table or small little doorbell just turned and having the rattling sound or even the toilet paper wheel I used in one track.
Wow. So, oh, that's amazing.
It's like being like a little child. That's why I love my job. It's going around and finding sounds that I think, oh, this would be fun.
Yeah.
And then my kid.
Wow. Because in movies, it's called like Foley, like as a job, isn't it? Where all you would do is sound effects. So it's very interesting to talk about how you've used those skills in your composition as well. It's an amazing ear you've got for sound. One of my teachers told me once, Steve Berry, that he transcribed his own microwave. when he said it, I thought, you know, this is a man that he's hearing sounds. He's not so much with the notes. It's just the noises that things make.
Yeah. I mean, Cosmo Sheldrake, the guy that I also really like to listen to music to.
Cosmo,
he has a whole album with just bird sounds chirped and cut it. And I also like this idea of taking organic stuff that is around us to influence the music, but still it's music and being creative with it. And not being too abstract, you can also, I think it's also easy to use those organic sounds in a quite, as you said, in a music that could be for a broad bunch of people to listen to.
This is really interesting. Cosmo's, like, I have a student who absolutely loves Cosmo Sheldrake, and we've written out loads of his songs together, you know, transcribe them and learn them on piano. But it's a great example of someone who's like, he's writing in a way that's sort of really accessible. But for me as a musician, is really interesting as well, because there's sort of unusual and different to everything else.
I think when I listen to his music, I feel like I know how he did it. Or I can completely understand why the stuff sounds as it does. I could imagine that he also works like in a room for himself and then just takes instruments in his hands and starts fiddling around with it. And then one leads after the other. Yeah.
Wow, this is so
but
interesting.
I like him. Like music of him as well.
Yeah. Tell me about the idea of writing for a game, and particularly what happens, this game that we've been discussing a lot, Lone Sails and its sequel, Changing Tides, they're like little puzzle games. So there's a lot of moments where you get sort of, you're not stuck, but you're figuring something out. And while you're doing it, the music's going, you've written like a little loop that will go round and round and round. At a certain moment in the game will trigger the next sequence of music. So when you release the soundtrack, you just hear it start to finish. But when you play the game, the music really interacts with you as a player. Do you have to think about that when you're composing, about how much, or do you know where it's going to be looped? Do you do that yourself, or does somebody in the game production take snippets of it and loop it? So many questions.
So many questions, yeah. To start with, those the original soundtrack and the music in the game are two different products.
Right.
And first, I concern more about the music in the game. I do it myself with a software called FMOD, which is good to look at. It's not coding because I'm not familiar with coding, but you have a visual program that allows you to make music interactive, which was so much fun to start with. I love doing this. Besides making the music, it's the second thing that I love to think about, how the music could be interactive in the game, because we also found out that is something that people amazes when the music reacts on to what they do. To an extent, it gives you the possibility to make the player feel like he's making the music, or at least influencing
it. That's it. You got it.
Ah,
nailed it.
This I also do, and for me it's kind of doing one and then the other. When I get stuck with thinking about how the music could be interactive and making those loops or this game affected, player affected music, then I would go back and just make music. And when I'm stuck with just making music, I would turn the page again and do some technical in-game music, like tree kind of things. So if if he does that, then the music will do that, and so on. So it's going forth and back.
Wow, that's incredible. I just looked that up, FMOD. It looks so good. What a fantastic tip that is.
Desperately waiting for it to become a MIDI implementation.
Right.
So you could use MIDI controllers to make stuff with it, because I also do sometimes music for installation or museum. It could open a world that is really, really fun to explore.
Yeah.
So kind of... Yeah, you could mess around with a lot of things. FMOD is working like that every thing that is physically measuring, that you can physically measure in the game, you can use to influence the music.
Right.
So in the game, everything is physically measurable. So you could use literally everything to influence the music. So I think like I'm scratching on the surface of something that could be explored way beyond. So I think I could fool around with this for another 30 years.
Wow. If I ever did a PhD, I'd love to do it something like this, you know, a whole 7 years study of.
Yes. Give me a call and I'll join you.
Let's do it. Let's be the first, like doctors of sound and movement.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's so interesting. On their homepage is a interview, The Sound of Untitled Goose Game, which is a brilliant little solo piano soundtrack.
Nice.
But that's great that's obviously like they've done the same thing, you know, and had the characters manipulate the music. That's another great score for our listeners if you want to check out the magic of Untitled Goose Game. So Joel, what's coming up? What's next for you? What's in the diary?
So the last half year, I more spent making music for plays. I was on stage making music for plays. And now it's again game time, but I'm not allowed to tell you more about it.
Cool. Cool. Yeah. It's fine. Let's not go there.
I think it's important to mention that usually I'm working for 2 years on this kind of games, not full time, but I have the luxury of putting it away as soon as I get stuck.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's, I would say it's the most important part about it is that I am on board from second one, from the production, and that gives me the time to work on this. It's not like that Lone Sails or Changing Tide was made in 2 or 3 months. I think I couldn't have done it.
It's very heartening to hear that you're, first of all, able to put it away, but also that it's very human, like that resonates with me, that composition is something that you can't force, you can't, not like practice, you can't necessarily be like, I'll do it all day. You might do 20 minutes and get stuck.
Yeah, sure thing. And I'm not one of the guys that is working well when I'm feeling bad. I don't take creativity out of depressing moments. That's a lot of songwriters are using for their work. So for me, it's the other way around. When I like the world and I'm looking outside the window and I think, yeah, it's good, then I like to make music. And that's not always the case, for sure, as it is for all human beings. And then it's really, really nice to have the ability to put it away. To be honest, surely the last 1 month of the production, before the game comes out or before I have my deadline, sure, it will be crunch time. Still, it always is to finish something up, to also being able to let it go
and
let it slip out of your hands. It's the hard part. It doesn't vanish, this fact, but still it's the way I love to work. And I guess it's also my privilege that I am, at least on these projects, I'm able to work like that.
Wow. So the plays then, when you're writing music for play, is it like a modern play where they want you to create new music? Like, just to explain a little bit about that to me.
It's quite different from play to play. So me and my friend, we did a Bonnie and Clyde play that where only the people around the project were professionals. The ones on the stage would be amateurs.
Right.
And there we had some straightforward Ocean 11 doof da da doof music. And,
right.
but there would also be a part where there was an escape of a prison, and then we would bang on all kinds of different metal objects. I think in plays it's always a bit it's a mixture of also Foley sounds, also sound effects, but quite how do you say it? Music that just works for the scene,
right?
And not putting too much. Just if you do the walking bass and the drum beat, do it throughout the whole scene. If someone is acting at the same time, you just have to do it low key and not putting too much details in it. Just do it like that. It's a mixture of exploring sounds and also just helping the play.
Do you perform, you write the music and you play as well, like just with your friend, like whatever instruments you need for the play, basically?
Yeah, for this case, we were both on stage and just fiddling around and playing what we were able to put on stage.
Can the audience see you?
Yes.
That sounds great.
Yes, they could see us. Yeah.
This is brilliant. Joel, let's finish with a track from the sequel game. We haven't played any of these yet. I'm going to play Circling for our listeners because I love this track. It's got like echoes of like bits of the old soundtrack from the first game, but it's also broader. There's more strings, there's more wind. Was that a deliberate tactic from your point of view to make it feel like an evolution?
Yeah, exactly. You put it in perfect words.
Oh, great. Well, that's how it sounded. It hit,
yes,
you know.
that's exactly what I was after. So, I mean, the fact that the vehicle is way bigger in the second one as it is in the first one, and the additional physical thing with water already just opened up the instrumentation. Yeah, I wanted to work the same way, but make a broader variety in instrumentation. Oh,
Well, Joel, this is an absolute beauty, this track. Thank you so much for coming on the Jazz Podcast. It's been incredible. I have genuinely learned so much today. This has been brilliant.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you.
Pleasure. Here it is, Circling from the album Far Changing Tides.